This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome back to Claret & Blue, sponsored by NordVPN. My name is John Townley and I will be talking you through the defeat at Man City and looking forward to the game against Brentford on Saturday, an opportunity for Villa to return to winning ways and to get more points on the board in their pursuit of a top four finish. It turned out to be a difficult night for Villa at the Etihad on Wednesday. We expected it to be a big challenge and, as we'll get on to soon, when the team news dropped, that challenge was made all the more difficult. But yeah, just to put into context of what, you know, a huge task Villa had to get anything from the game. City are now unbeaten in their last 40 home games in all competitions, and they've won 34 of them, so drawing six. That's only the second time in the history that they've managed to record a run of 40 or more matches without defeat at home. So, you know, I have seen comments saying, well, if Villa didn't make some of the changes they had, then potentially, you know, they had a chance of getting a point. But you know, if you see what City had in reserve as well, De Bruyne and Haaland, they didn't even have to call on them in the end. If they did, and, you know, Villa were in the game, for example, again, I'll get on to it, but if Luiz takes his chance, City would make those changes, and I think the game would probably end up in a defeat for Villa anyway. Going to the Etihad, Villa's record is, well, it's shambolic, and I struggle to criticise it too much, though, because they have won, what, like six of the last seven league titles or something. They're going for the fourth in a row, which I believe is a record, Premier League record. So, yeah, it was always going to be a mammoth task. And as I say, if we start from the top, that challenge was made a whole lot harder when, I mean, even before the game, Ollie Watkins and John McGinn, your top scorer and Villa's, I suppose, first captain, not playing in the game. Later to be without Emi Martinez as well, due to a stomach bug. And yeah, I'll get on to different bits later in this episode, but he should be okay to play against Brentford. It was a stomach bug. He travelled with the team and he felt ill, basically, before the warm-ups, and that change was made just minutes after the team news was confirmed. The team news is usually confirmed about 15 minutes before it comes out, an hour before kickoff in the Premier League. So yeah, Martinez must have felt unwell, you know, quite rapidly, I suppose, after coming off the coach and then going to get changed to get to do his warm up. So yeah, he didn't play. Robin Olsen came in and did well, actually, I thought. I know Villa shipped four goals. Emery said similar. So that's never good for a goalkeeper, but actually he made some good saves and kept Villa in with a chance of getting a second equaliser later on in the match. But yeah, starting from the top, when the team news dropped, I was shocked to see Pau Torres on the bench, Leon Bailey on the bench, Yuri Tielemans on the bench. I thought Emery would have just played the strongest team he could have in the circumstances. But Emery understood this challenge, and he said after the game he basically preferred to save the players. And whenever I've asked him in press conferences after European games or in other matches where Villa have a hectic run, I never use the word, you know, did you rest this player or did you because I remember the first time that someone asked him about that, he didn't snap back at all, but it made very clear to the journalists that he doesn't rest to the players. It's always the case that it's giving an opportunity to other players, because of course, if Pau Torres was to be injured, as he has been in the season, then Longley has to come in. If Ramsey is injured with them, Rodgers has to come in, or Zaniolo has to come in. So he does think of, you know, the team is an 11, but because we have so many games to play, there's going to be players who are backups as such who will always have to play their part. And we saw that, you know, even with Callum James playing the second half against Nottingham Forest, that's a game that Villa had to win. And they did in the end comfortably, but there was points in that match where the winner wasn't guaranteed. Forest could have easily have equalised or even gone in the lead at one stage when Elanga had that chance, and Chambers acquitted himself well. So yeah, that's kind of the case in point, that even players who are backups need to, you know what they're coming into. They may be experienced in the Premier League, they may not, but they need to, more than anything, have an experience of what it's like to play in a new Unai Emery system. And that's why we've seen Tielemans take, you know, at the start of the season, a bit of time. He had to wait 3 months for his first start. So yeah, he was happy to give the likes of Rodgers, Zaniolo, Duran, you know, basically an opportunity against City, because he saw, of course, as I say, the challenge, and also without Ollie Watkins, without John McGinn, later to be without Martinez, which is far from ideal, but obviously these changes were made before he knew about Martinez. So, yeah, I don't want to say that he didn't throw the game. Of course he didn't, because Villa was still in with a chance of getting something out of it for, you know, in different stages of the game. But this was a game where Villa, you know, this, I don't think this was going to, you know, kind of paint the picture of the season to come as such. Playing Brentford, playing Bournemouth, playing Chelsea, those three home games, they are, for me anyway, must-win matches now. The Man City game, I don't think we would have won the match even if we had our full-strength team. You can add Kamara to that. Yeah, we would have probably put up a better fight, but yeah, City, for me anyway, they were hardly out of the second gear anyway. So yeah, it was always going to be a very difficult game for Villa, and I think Emery just realised before the match, okay, I can probably afford to rest a few players. And as I say, although he doesn't like saying that, that's what he inferred for this game. And to be honest, in hindsight, you know, so when the changes were made at the start, in terms of what the team has come out, I was shocked and a bit surprised. But in hindsight, I can understand it. I can accept it, because Bailey, Tielemans and Powell, the three players that he brought out, obviously McGinn, Watkins and Martinez, they were forced on him. He had to change those players, or that they couldn't play. Bailey, Tielemans and Powell, they've all had injuries this season. Bailey, not too much, but we know that in the past 2 years, he's had periods of the season where he's had to miss out because of injury problems. He hasn't felt confident in his body, etc. But Powell missed 6 of the 7 games between coming off against Brentford and the home defeat to Man United. So that's a large chunk of matches there. So, you know, I think as well, in that period, that was such a busy period. This is now a very busy period, as it was in the festive period of the season. And we obviously struggled after those wins against Man City and Arsenal. We, you know, go and lose to United. We failed to beat Sheffield United, and missing these two players between Powell and Tielemans in particular. I think that was, you know, crucial to that. Tielemans missed 4 games with a calf injury in that run. So it was when he came off against Arsenal, and then he returned, I believe, against Everton at Goodison Park, which was, I think, actually quite earlier than expected. And Bailey himself came off against Arsenal, I think. And then he couldn't start the match against Brentford, if memory serves me correctly. And I think he came on for 20 minutes at the end of that match. So he has an injury history himself. And as I say, Villa have got a very busy, hectic schedule to come. 6 games in 21 days. That will be extended, if they beat Lille over 2 legs, to 10 games in 5 weeks towards the end of the season. So, yeah, it's going to be hectic to say the least. And they will need the full complement of players. And I wouldn't be surprised if Emery makes wholesale changes for another game later in the season. I don't know where that's going to come. It might be a European game for one of the legs if Villa can get the job done. I mean, you can't say job done. Even if they win 2-0 against Lille, it's going to be difficult away from home. If you concede the first goal, then you don't know what's going to happen. So it's going to be difficult. I can understand why he's made those changes for City, is basically what I'm trying to say. But yeah, looking towards the end of the campaign, it's hard to pick out a game where Villa can afford to make those changes, if that makes sense. Both, or you know, both legs in the quarterfinal against Lille to me seem very important, unless Villa can win the first leg 4-0. But that, I think, you know, won't happen. And then Arsenal away, for me anyway, that seems like more of an opportunity than what it would be against City. Villa's record against City is dreadful. And away, the way that City play as well. You know, Rodri, outstanding footballer. And, you know, you get a better appreciation of him when you watch him live as well. I hadn't seen him live. Well, last season, yes, but not this season. You can tell why they missed him at Villa Park. That's nothing to take away from Villa's performance against City early in the season, because they were exceptional. But yeah, Rodri's like the metronome. He makes everything tick, passing from left to right. Outstanding footballer. But yeah, back to Villa. The Arsenal match away, I can't see Emery making those changes that he did, even though the game comes between those two quarterfinal legs against Lille, I believe. Yeah, Villa's record at Arsenal isn't so bad. And, you know, they're very strong defensively, but I think Villa can have more of the ball. Hopefully, you know, by then you'll be playing your Watkins, Miggins, Torres, all those players, and hopefully will be fully fit to go. Potentially Matty Cash as well. I'm not too sure how far he is away, 2 weeks away. So, no, probably not Matty Cash, but I think Conte would play ahead of him anyway for an Arsenal away match.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But yeah, there were positives for Villa. For 60 minutes, I thought they acquitted themselves very, very well. It's always going to be so difficult against City, but, you know, they had to get to half-time without falling behind again. Obviously, Zaniolo jumps out of the wall, which is a major mistake, which is a shame, because I actually thought he played very well in the first half, Zaniolo. He links very well with Rodgers and Duran. Yeah, the fourth goal was key, because it comes just after Luiz and Longley have the chances themselves to draw level at 2-2. Luiz, for me, should have taken another touch. I think if he drags that onto his left side and he can slam it across Ortega, similar to the finish Duran had against Ortega in the first half. But yeah, then Longley comes close from header, which again was a big opportunity for Villa. You know, you kind of felt with it straight after those two opportunities, well, Villa probably going to get punished here. And they duly were. Phil Foden scores his second goal of the night, then his hat trick. And at that point, you do fear that Villa can, you know, ship a couple more. Again, I say through a little fault of their own, they were genuinely so good for an hour, I thought, considering the changes. You've got 20-year-old Timo Ruben, who again, I thought was very composed. He didn't look out of place at all. Away against Man City as well. Rodgers was good for me. Duran, I like a lot. And again, you know, can't ask the world from him, but he held the ball up well in parts and, you know, deserved his goal, because he was running tirelessly at the top of the pitch. Again, that's going to fade as the game goes on, because he's probably not fully fit himself. I don't know when he would have played a 90, especially a 90 like that, chasing the ball, chasing loose balls particularly. So yeah, there were positives, and yeah, Duran, he is chaos, but he showed composure to link up with Rodgers and slam past Ortega. Yeah, I think he's an excellent backup to Ollie Watkins. I think he's perfect in terms of the profile. He's physical, he causes problems, he's a handful. He's a player that when he comes on the pitch, the centre-backs must think, okay, you know, he's going to put himself about. He can run in behind, he can pin centre-backs. And he's got room for growth, obviously. He's only 20, as I've said previously. I think he's made great strides in the last 12 months, basically, under Emery. And he became the youngest player to score against Man City at the Etihad in the Premier League since Marcus Rashford, which is quite a remarkable stat as well. So fair play to him. Rashford was 18. Duran, as I say, is only 20. But yeah, hopefully, after saying that, hopefully Ollie Watkins can return against Brentford. If he isn't, I don't think it's the end of the world, though, because I have faith in Duran that he'd be able to, you know, make an impact against Brentford from the start anyway. He's playing with confidence, and you know, while I would love Watkins to be fit, if there is a slight doubt, if he's not 100% fit, I would play Duran from the off. whether Watkins can make the bench or not. But you need these players to be ready for the rest of the season. And while there's a lot of games to play, they all come in such a short space of time. If Watkins was to tweak anything or aggravate anything, he could be out for another few weeks. And that's obviously a major issue. That would be, what, nearly half of the games that we have left to play this season. So, yeah, Watkins was checked today. I don't know what the result of that is. Emery did say that that was the plan. He was going to be assessed on Thursday. And, yeah, with the possibility of playing against Brentford. But, again, we'll know more on Friday when Emery does his press conference. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that one. And McGinn is back. A massive boost for Villa. Emery, I'll read you something that Emery said now, actually. So Emery said, it's very important to recover McGinn, who is available on Saturday. And then he adds that we're not with Jacob Ramsey at the moment and we need players. This is a good reason to give minutes to other players like Tim. Every minute Tim adds for us is important and he is trying to be strong in the structure we have. So basically what he said there is, McGinn coming back is a big boost, of course, but also a bit of a hint that Jacob Ramsey probably isn't ready to play against Brentford either, which is a shame because, say, he returned to training last week. It's been such a stop-start season for Ramsey. When's he going to get his break? Hopefully he can still play a part of the season remaining. I'm going to say that because if he comes in and then comes back out, he's not going to build that rhythm. He had a rhythm for, four or five games. He was looking excellent before he came off against Luton. And he looked like the player that we had last season. That was after a few weeks of him coming back into it. And he looked quite, he didn't look very confident in his body as we've seen through Bailey for a couple of seasons. He just didn't look right. But he was starting to, kind of get back to his best. And it's such a shame that now he's picked up another knock. And you just wonder how is that going to affect him, even if he was to come back, say, next week. You know, you want these players to be fully fit and firing. And it's a shame if we can't get Ramsey to his best level, you know, at any point this season, apart from maybe a couple of games a few weeks ago before his latest injury. Some credit in there for Tim as well from Emery. John McGinn's back. Martinez should be back, just a stomach bug. So you'd hope that he could get over that in time for Saturday. He doesn't have to be training, does he? Ahead of the game. I mean, you'll want to get in his rhythm. Sorry. But he should be okay. Nolly Watkins, there'll be an update on Friday. Brentford will potentially have Mbeumo back in the starting 11. He's been pushing for a start since December the 6th. He had substitute appearances against Burnley, United and Brighton in Brentford's last three games. And Kevin Sharder as well could make the squad to play against Villa because he's just returning from an adductor injury, I believe. It was a few months that he's been out now. He's a very quick player, Kevin Sharder. We saw it in the pre-season match out in Maryland, I believe, the last one of the Premier League Summer Series. Caused problems going in behind. And he's a very good player. So maybe Villa have caught Brentford. Probably at the wrong time in terms of Mbeumo coming back potentially in the starting 11. Obviously, they have Tony back now and he's making a difference at the top of the pitch. They did draw 0-0 to Brighton. But yeah, Sharder won't be, fully ready to go as such. He might come off the bench, which you could say could cause Villa some problems. He played a behind closed friendly on Tuesday and he scored a penalty. But Villa come into the game themselves with, yes, they've lost 4-1 to City, but I still think that we have a lot of confidence. We're playing at Villa Park. We know that this is, not to apply too much pressure, but these are, they really are cup finals. I know Conte said that they have 9 cup finals a couple of games ago and the Man City game was all a bit, didn't feel like a cup final at all from Villa's perspective. But Brentford absolutely is. They need to win the football match. Tottenham play the day later on the Sunday at 6 o'clock. Man United, at the time I'm recording this, they haven't played against Chelsea. It would be useful if they didn't beat Chelsea because they do have a game in hand against Sheffield United to come. So if they were to beat Chelsea and Sheffield United, then all of a sudden they are back in it. Of course, they have games to play before Sheffield United, including Liverpool on Sunday. So, if Villa can beat Brentford, United slip up against Liverpool, then all of a sudden that gap again increases. And then there's fewer and fewer games remaining of the season each passing week, of course. So it gets to the point where United are almost out of the picture if they slip up against Chelsea and Liverpool practically, and Villa beat Brentford. When Villa play Bournemouth later this month, Tottenham and Man United don't play themselves. So again, they'll have an opportunity to kind of have that psychological advantage of having points on the board. But yeah, they've just got to focus on Brentford. Can they claim what would be a huge win? Brentford come into the game in pretty dreadful form, which I don't know how to feel about it, because the law of averages would suggest that they've got to win a match at some point. They're winless in 8 matches, which is pretty dreadful, considering they're not a bad team. They have had injuries, as pretty much everyone has. And I don't know whether they'll have the likes of Norgaard back or Pinnock for Villa. I'm not sure. We'll have to see what Frank says about that. I presume he speaks to the media on Friday. They've won 1 in the last 11. So, yeah, this is a game that Villa have to be winning. But saying that, Brentford have won at Chelsea. They've won at Fulham and Wolves. So, as we know, they're no mugs. And they have scored in 7 of the last 8 away games. The time that they didn't score was against Man City. So, yeah, it will be a very tricky game, but Villa's quality should be able to pull them through, similar to the Wolves match. That would be my kind of pretty much prediction a couple of days before the event. So, yeah, it's a huge game from Villa. They are 4 wins away from 71 points. So you're looking at Brentford, Bournemouth, Chelsea, one of Brighton or Palace. I don't want it to go down to the last game. In terms of the top 4, it probably will, between us and Spurs. If we have a big advantage and we go to Palace, in terms of, you know, we might be 3 points ahead of Spurs with a better goal difference or whatever it may be, then okay, you know, so be it. But yeah, I just think in the next 2 weeks, we'll know pretty much about the top 5, I'd have thought, because some of the German teams might be out, some of the English teams might be out. But if those German teams are out, so Bayern, Dortmund, they play Atletico. We are supporting Arsenal and Dortmund in those games. And then, of course, Leverkusen are playing West Ham. I can't see West Ham winning over 2 legs, if I'm being perfectly honest, by Leverkusen. I haven't lost a game, full stop, this season in any competition. So I don't see how West Ham can go to Bayer Leverkusen and avoid a defeat there and beat them at home as well. It's yeah, tall order for them. So we'll know more about the top 5 in the coming weeks. But what we know now is, you know, we can focus on the top 4. And Brentford is a huge game in that. And as I say, but then it's Bournemouth, but then it's Chelsea. Liverpool at home will be very difficult. I suspect they'll be in the title race still. Brighton away, that will be difficult because Brighton will be going for Europe themselves. And then Palace away on the final day. You can't describe that one yet because you don't know the situation that Villa are in. Palace should be safe. So, you know, I'd expect Villa to be going there and hopefully winning the game. But pressure does funny things to people, doesn't it? So we don't know. Yeah, after Brentford, I believe Dan Rollinson is back. He was getting married on Wednesday, so congratulations, Dan, if you're watching. He'll be back with a post-match show on Saturday night with Matt Kendrick, I believe. Yeah, if you enjoyed today's video, please leave a like rating and do subscribe to Claret & Blue. And yeah, take care, everyone, and we'll catch you next time.